The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and you are going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble, because they see the light of this world. But those who walk by night stumble, because the light is not in them." After saying this, he told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right." Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought that he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad that I am not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, just 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Mary and Martha to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Them bones, dry bones. And some of them bones are mine. I want to talk about four acts of communication that are going on today right here. First act of communication is in the story that we hear of the prophet Ezekiel, who is taken by God's hand to a valley. And in the valley, what does he see? Bones. Dead bones, dry bones. Not a very promising sight if you were trying to build a community. Now, just a little insight. During the Babylonian captivity, Ezekiel was writing, and part of what this particular vision and act of communication is about is that one of the ancient practices of our humanity is to try to solve our problems through human sacrifice. And oftentimes, it's the valley where the bones of the sacrificed are left. And in some of those ancient cultures, it was the children, the firstborn, who were sacrificed in an attempt to use death to satisfy fate, the gods, and to keep the culture together. And so Ezekiel is brought to this valley. What do you see? I see bones. Can they live? You know, God, not me. And in an act of communication, God tells the prophet, prophesy. Speak the word to these bones. Bring those bones together. And the bones start to fly. And all those who had been slain in an attempt to make things okay, they start to become reanimated. They're brought together, bone on bone, flesh on flesh. And then God says to Ezekiel, prophesy to the breath. Bring the breath into them so that they may be living human beings. Does it remind you of creation? When God breathed into the first of us? And when it's all said and done, this act of communication includes God saying, this is the house of Israel. This is the place where there was no hope. And in the lack of hope, you resorted to human sacrifice, as if God is a wrathful God who requires you to do such things. And he keeps saying, and this is so you will know that I am the Lord. Not the God who demands these sacrifices. second act of communication in the psalm, Psalm 130, one of my favorite psalms. Third verse reads, "For there is forgiveness with you, therefore you shall be feared." Why is it fearful to be forgiven? Perhaps because to be forgiven is to bear the horrible burden of becoming a forgiving person. If God is forgiving us, we bear the burden of having been forgiven and loved and having our dry bones reassembled and the breath of God breathed back into our lungs and being animated to become the church. It is a fearful thing because we don't do well with forgiveness. We prefer wrath. We prefer holding grudges and resentments. Sometimes the whole sense of our meaning comes from our resentments. Sometimes death itself gives us reason to be. Third act of communication, that very long gospel. Please remember, that was not my sermon. But I'm still going to try to keep this short. The name Lazarus means God helps. Perfect name, right? This poor guy did nothing wrong. He just died. And Jesus hears of it as Lazarus is dying, and he delays returning. And one of the best things you can say about Lazarus was that he was loved and that he is going to become an act of communication. And that communication is from God, and the communication is God is large in the world. God's life and love and forgiveness and mercy are huge in the world. And watch what that means. Jesus finally goes, and he's met by Martha, I almost say confronted by her. Martha's the one, remember, who liked to do stuff rather than sit around and learn stuff. Mary, her sister, was a little more studious. And Lazarus, the brother, you don't even know what he's doing except maybe working. And so Martha comes out and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died." But listen to that act of faith. An act of communication from a human being to Jesus, the Messiah. "But if you will, I know that he can live again." What an act of faith. And then Mary runs out. She says, "If you'd only been here, he would have never died." Which is an act of faith as well, isn't it? It's an act of communication that they still hold Jesus to be in a very special relationship to God and to them. Jesus loved Lazarus. Jesus loved Martha. Jesus loved Mary, who, in a couple chapters, will anoint Jesus' feet with oil, expensive oil, and dry them with her hair. Another act of communication. And it's an act of love and compassion. She does not fear being forgiven. She does not fear a God who shows mercy. She does not fear a God of love. And Jesus is taken to the tomb. And notice that he does not do this on his own. He asks that somebody in the community roll back the stone. He doesn't do it. And there's an objection to that, isn't there? Why shouldn't he roll back the stone? 4 days in the grave, if you think those dry bones were bad, dry bones are better than this set of bones. He says, roll it back. Remind you of the stone being rolled back on Easter? An act of communication, an act of love. And it is the community that was surrounding Jesus at that time whose faith took them to roll back the stone. It took faith to roll back the stone, to actually face the possibility that those bones could be reanimated and the breath of God could breathe into the world. And Jesus doesn't do this to show you what a terrific magician he is with bones and flesh and blood. He does this to show you how very present God is in our everyday world, communicating love, forgiveness, and not demanding that we sacrifice anyone else to satisfy him. Lazarus, come out. In a word, doesn't touch Lazarus. And Lazarus waddles out, all bound up, as a proper dead person should be. And the next thing is also interesting in that he says to the community, unbind him. Now, if you heard the story of Isaac and Abraham, where Abraham was going to sacrifice his son because God told him to, and yet, by an act of communication, the living God said to him, no, don't sacrifice your only son. God will provide himself the sacrifice. God will become that sacrifice in a delightful, intriguing, elegant act of communication well past Abraham's day. And the first thing he does is he unbinds Isaac. And Jesus says, unbind Lazarus, God's help. And they do. It's a community effort, folks. Forgiveness and bringing life back into the world requires our participation in this act of communication. It is what faith and belief lead us to do, is to participate in the fearful process of being forgiven, being loved, and being cared for beyond all care. And Jesus raises Lazarus, act of communication, and we don't hear much. You know, it's like the National Enquirer. If they'd been there, this would have been a great story. What was it like? I was dead. Well, what's it like to be back? I'm alive. What are you going to do? Go to Disneyland? No. Now, everybody responded differently to Lazarus being raised from the dead. I don't know if you know this, but there were people who became believers because of this. But what we don't hear read today is the very next line. But some went back to the Pharisees and told on Jesus. And that's when you get this intriguing meeting of the religious folk, you know, the bishops and all. And they all got together and they're trying to figure out, well, what are we going to do to stop this? This forgiveness thing could get out of hand. This mercy thing could get out of hand. This saving message could get out of hand. And the Romans aren't going to like this because it's contrary to their system. And one named Caiaphas gives you the Caiaphas principle, and the Caiaphas principle is pretty simple. Don't you know anything, he said? Can't you see that it's to our advantage that one man dies for the people rather than the whole nation be destroyed? And isn't that the logic of our social system? It's better that somebody else bear the burden for our living than us. And if we can identify the right person and get rid of them, all the better. And Jesus was to be that perfect person. But not just Jesus, because Lazarus now has become an act of communication, as Jesus is an act of communication from God, the Word of God. And so not too much further in, there's actually a plot to try try to kill Lazarus, because he's evidence of forgiveness and mercy and love. And you, my friends, are part of this act of communication from God, and how we respond to that act of communication is very, very important. And week after week, Jesus speaks to us in this divine and elegant act of communication right up here. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this to make me present in your community. And just as those in the community unbound our brother Lazarus, your response to come up and receive is your way of releasing into the world the forgiveness that is so fearful to many, but that sets the world free. Amen.